it's time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio, and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. Now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave.
And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. And we're back once again with Sports Sidebar. And, well, Captain Bill, we finally have something sports to talk about today.
You know, the Marble Madness is just fantastic. This guy named Bruno Marble Balls is just tremendous. He's got a cult following now and a fan club. And he can really roll those things. It's amazing.
Is that what you're talking about? That's the secret is in the Aggie, is what I understand on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've got to have just the right... I guess it's kind of... Another sport that I think they could play would be that ice thing they do with the brush. What is that?
Yeah, that big Canadian sport there. Where they're busy sweeping the ice. Yeah.
There's nobody else around other than that device. What do they call that? I can't think of it right at the top. They could play that. I mean, I would watch it.
I think, well, I tell you, they watch about anything. They watched all 3 days of this NFL draft.
Right.
And
right.
It was the highest rated draft they have ever had and probably ever will have.
55 million. 55, that's huge. I mean, that is a tremendous audience. I don't know, it's not quite Super Bowl, but yeah, 55 million people. That's who took out, who watched it, this virtual draft. It just tells you how desperate people are to watch something. And it's relevant too. It's a relevant event. And, so I don't usually watch it. I kind of like to watch the highlights where the young men come up to the stage and Roger Goodell hugs them and says good luck and gives them a jersey and stuff like that. And these young men, sometimes that's the highlight of their career.
it's amazing how much was watched. I mean, believe it or not, the top two markets in all of the draft, of watching the draft, number one, Columbus, Ohio. And they don't even have a professional team.
No, but they got it right between two.
Number two, Cleveland.
Well, I can believe that
In the final TV ratings, this came out of Marla Ridenour's tweet she just put out 21 hours ago. And it was followed by Philadelphia, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Atlanta, Jacksonville, Nashville, Milwaukee, and Denver and Baltimore tied for the next most views. But the number one and number two were Columbus, Ohio, and Cleveland, Ohio.
Good for us. That's great because, this was Andrew Berry's first draft as the man, as the... as the general manager, and so it was.
Before we go into a lot of analyzing and such, what did you think of his draft? I mean, before when he was here and Sashi Brown was in charge, basically they kept trading down to get a ton more lower picks. They only did that once, and they still got a good player out of it.
Well, I thought it was predictable draft. I mean, especially the first pick. The first pick was a nuts and bolt necessary pick because of the need on the offensive line. So they picked Jedrick Wills from Alabama. And there were several, I guess there was a virtual plethora of good offensive linemen in this particular draft, and that this guy supposedly fits the so-called new culture, whatever that is, of the Browns. I don't know what that means. And it was, I agree with Marla Rittenauer, your new favorite columnist, by the way, and that she did a good job of saying, yeah, it was a good, it was not bad. I mean, and the, I guess the one rating service put us in the top tier as far as our draft picks go. So, nobody has been able to, since Joe Thomas retired, to go into that slop excessively. I should have said slop, shouldn't I? Because it has been slop since he's left. Other than Baker Mayfield's rookie year, which he showed some promise, but it was a dismal sophomore year. And that's the question, really. I mean, these draft picks are nice. They're fundamental. But it all boils down to, can Baker Mayfield adjust to the NFL since they made the adjustments with him last year? So I guess Nate Ulrich summed it up: boring, move best for Browns, and it was nothing flashy, but they did a pretty darn good job, I think, of filling that need that they had to have on the offensive line.
Yeah. And so they got three defensive players and then three offensive players.
Well, I can go through it. I happen to have right here in front of me. Can you believe it?
I can, even though I can't see it. The 2020 Browns draft bios. You got that right in front of you, do you?
I got it right in front of me. So here we go. First round, 10th overall, is Zedrick Wills Jr., as stated before. He's 6'4.5", 312 pounds. That's a good size. And from the Alabama Crimson Tide, Roll Tide. The thing with him is he's a right tackle,
right?
But his quarterback was a left-hander, Tua Tagovailoa, and Tua, as they say. He was the number one pick for the Dolphins. I haven't asked my sister how she liked that pick yet, but I will. And so since he was a lefty, the blind side for a lefty is a right tackle, the right side. With Baker Mayfield and most other quarterbacks being right-handed, the blind side, the most important side of the offensive line, is the left tackle. And, you know, the question is, will he make the adjustment to left tackle? I really don't know all the technicalities involved in it, but normally you get the best defensive players playing on the side, the blind side of the quarterback that they're opposing. So he's got a big job ahead of him. And I would assume they're going to start him right away. Of course, I don't know how they're going to assess him until they have training activities going on. I don't know what the next step is.
He's never played that position they want him to play, high school or college. So it'll be interesting to see how he will be able to adapt to the new position. But you're right, since he was, in a sense, that same position for his quarterback, since his quarterback was left-handed.
Yes. Well, Marla Rittenauer, and I think she's very right, it's a good draft picks, but you don't know for years ahead.
Right.
But none of these guys, Barry or DePodesta, are football guys.
Right.
They're not. Dorsey was a football guy. He played the sport. He was a football player himself. He was a coach and then a general manager. And he was a football guy. Hightower was a football guy. There's no football guys who actually played this sport in the top echelons. Even Stefanski was a football guy, but he is not, I don't think, ever played at a level like the pros.
Right, right.
So her concern was, okay, this was a smart guy's draft. And the guys are smart. Smart! Remember?
They are.
Saucy Brown, oh, smart. Herbert, man, he is a smart kid. And I call him a kid because he's only 32 years old.
Yeah, the youngest general manager in the NFL.
Yeah, I have a bunion that's older than he is. So, a very intelligent, personable young man. And has a master's degree in computer science from Harvard. So I think he's darn smart. And so is Steve Bettosa. But, and I guess you don't have to be a football guy to assess talent. And I'm sure he had a lot of input from Stefanski and others as well. But, and that's a concern of hers. It's not a huge concern of hers. But, we'll see. We'll see if Wills does the trick on that left tackle side. It's amazing, isn't it, though, that the emphasis on you don't win. They're not the flashy positions. The only time you ever hear or see about a offensive lineman is when they go off sides or false start or holding. Right. I mean, that's. But they're so necessary in the building blocks of a good team that in Alabama's, according to articles, Nick Saban runs the most professional type offense of any other university in the major ranks of college football. So he uses a pro set style in playing at Alabama. So Wills is a good pick, and Saban highly recommends him, and that's not a bad recommendation to get that kind of accolades from Nick Saban. So I thought it was a good pick. I thought maybe they would go with, who was it, the other, Mekhi Becton, another, he was another offensive tackle from Louisville, but he went number 11. So you're talking, and the only other offensive tackle is Andrew Thomas from Georgia. But I think they just felt Bills fit the culture more for the Browns. And, of course, if he wasn't available, number 10, they picked the second one in their estimation to do that. Well, so
this guy was projected basically by most individuals of the offensive tackle position to be the number one offensive tackle available.
So I'm pleased. It's hard to get excited about an offensive tackle, but they're not flashy like a quarterback or a running back or a wide receiver, but they are very exciting. I mean, even safeties and corners, defensive cornerbacks are flashy players. They're the kind of thoroughbreds that run the 40 in extremely fast speeds and things like that. So, so good pick. Everybody predicted it. Jimmy Donovan predicted it. So it was not a surprising selection. So the second round. Of course, you remember, we didn't have a first round last year. So that's why I think, too, that there was so much interest in the Brown selection at number one, because we gave that number one round draft pick to get Odell Beckham Jr., and it's questionable whether that's going to be a long-term success or not, but we shall see. The next second round, 44th overall, was Grant Delpit from LSU, and 6'2.5", 213 pass guy, and as a safety. They've had some concerns at safety. And apparently he is, they say he has football IQ and athleticism. Well,
and zoom tight, yeah.
Yeah, I know. And we'll see. I mean, the defensive side of the ball is probably the biggest current concern, according to Terry Pluto, that the Browns are going to experience. I mean, they may be very well situated on the offensive side of the ball, but defensively, I think they had still Olivier Vernon still with the Browns. I mean, it was rumored that because of his large salary, they were going to dump him, but they haven't so far. I don't know if there's a deadline that they have to decide whether or not to keep him or not. Because he's due like $15 million.
Yeah, and generally what it is, it has to be signed by a certain time, because at that time, if he has not been released, then there is a big bonus usually involved in the retaining. And the fact is that deadline may be pushed back because of what is going on. I have not heard that it has been pushed back, but I haven't heard that it's still intact the way it was either.
There was another thing, too, I forgot to mention, is that they were thinking about it getting, I think, Trent Williams from the Redskins, who sat out last year. He's a proven commodity, an all-pro, but he wanted to be the top earner of all offensive tackles in the NFL. Plus, he sat out last year, and he's 31 years old.
Right.
So, I mean, there was some thought that they may have obtained him and used their number 10 slot for something else, but they didn't. So, I just wanted to throw that in because that was a consideration.
That was a consideration, yes.
Yes. Number three, the third round pick, 88th overall, was Jordan Elliott, defensive tackle, almost 6'4", 302 pounds from Missouri. They do need help especially with the concern about Olivier Vernon, because he's hurt all the time, and they need somebody to assist Myles Garrett. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do on defense. It just don't seem to me to have a stellar defense right now, and maybe some of these picks will assist in that, but I don't think you want to rely on your season with a second-round pick who is improving.
And this guy's a third-rounder, and how many third-rounders actually get to play much in the first year?
Very few. I mean, you had Grady Williams, who was our second pick, or our first pick last year, but in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
He played, and he was hurt. And the safety and defensive tackle, I guess, is to shore up. But, I mean, other than Myles Garrett, nobody else, and Denzel Ward went healthy. And they got rid of their best linebacker, Joe Schubert, for whatever reason. I don't know why he didn't fit into their scheme they got rid of him. So that's a head scratcher.
That is, by all indications, that really is a head scratcher.
And I scratch my head a lot watching this team over all these years. I scratch all my hair right now. Jacob Phillips. He was also a third rounder, a 97th overall. He 6'3", 229, and his is an inside linebacker. Again, well, a third round draft pick. Fit the needs of this team, I don't know. But, again, they emphasize in their 2 3-round picks and their 1 second-round pick defense. But I don't know. I mean, there's going to be a lot of training and instruction for these young men to adjust to the pro game. Harrison Bryant, fourth pick overall, fourth round, 115th overall. He's a tight end. You know, we're in pretty good shape with tight ends, but maybe they have other clients. I mean, they just got Uber, and I can not pronounce that guy's name. Ngogi, whatever his name
is. Njoki.
Yes, him. And they got two. So they got two pretty darn good tight ends, and whether this kid will break into the team as a fourth rounder, I don't know. He's got good size, tight end size, 6'4", almost 6'5", 243 pounds. So he's got the build of a tight end, and whether he makes the team. I mean, when you start getting into your second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth picks, they're all questionable at that point.
Right.
It's you know, you're dealing with guys who are established players. You also have free agents out there. So, and of course, with the free agents as well that they signed, I think they signed 15 free agents to come into camp. So, we'll see. We'll see. But he's got good size. He's from, where is he from? He's from Florida Atlantic.
So, yeah.
You don't hear too many outstanding stars at Florida Atlantic.
Right.
But that doesn't mean anything. I mean, we got a young man from Akron now playing for the Browns for 1 year contract. So, and they have a good program down there. It's just not one of your big names. So, we shall see. He was a Mackey winner, which means he was considered one of the best tight ends, if not one of the best tight ends in all of college football last year. And that's a big plus. So you can't count him out. But again, kind of, I wouldn't rush my season on a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
And maybe through time, he will develop the skills to be a prime receiver and blocker. And we'll see about that. The fifth round, 160th overall, Nick Harris, a center, 6 foot, almost 6 foot one, 302 pounds, from where's at Washington, University of Washington. And of course, they always give accolades to these guys.
Right.
And you know, could help out on the center position. Our guard center, I had his name here in front. He's now the new head of the president of the NFL Players Association. And I think he's probably needed a backup for him, but I don't know what the depth charge is for centers. So what is, oh, Treader is his name. And J.C. Treader is our current center and now the president of the NFL Players Association. And they're one of these unions. Since I got onto that, you know, a lot of times unions will have presidents, executive boards who are rank and file members, but they hire an executive officer to run the day in, day out functions of a union. And the executive director does most of the negotiations with the consultation of the elected officers. So he's now the president of the union for the NFL players. And finally, the sixth round pick, 187th overall, from Michigan, is 6'2", 212 wide receiver.
Yeah.
So his name is Donovan Peoples Jones, a man of the peoples. So and he was pretty good player for Michigan.
Yeah. Considering Michigan had a lousy quarterback situation, yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't really get to excel because the quarterback play was so inconsistent at best, shall we say.
Yeah. Now you got Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know where this young man will fit, except for maybe a backup position, special teams for a while. And you never know with Odell Beckham Jr. He's such a flighty guy that they may just get tired of him. And if this kid proves to be halfway decent, they may feel that, of course, I don't know how you replace him with a sixth rounder, but, so Donovan Peoples Jones is their selection as a wide receiver. So again, it was a nut and bolts, built some needs. But I'm concerned, if you were a Browns fan, I'm not an interested observer, is that the linebacker situation and some other positions need some addressing, and maybe they'll do that through free agency now that the draft is over. Apparently it went pretty well. this virtual
draft. Did you watch it at all, Bill?
No, I didn't. I really didn't. I'm not big on the draft. It's just, to me, I've watched so many, and there's all this expectation.
I'll tell you, I tried to watch some of it on Thursday. I wanted to see him get to the Browns. But I went away and watched a half-hour show and came back, and we still didn't get our choice, our number up yet. To me, it was just utterly ridiculous and nonsense and dragging things out because you have 10 minutes between picks. But once a team has selected, they don't announce it, and they don't start the clock until the person has actually been announced. So it was more like at least 20 minutes before the, 10 to 20 minutes before the clock would even be set for the next person, for the next team. And then you could see when the team's selection is in, and they just kept jabbering and showing videos and profiles and crud like that. It was just, to me, it was a bunch of nothing. It was absolutely a bunch of nothing. How people are so starved for sports. This is one of the highest rated things that's been on for since people have been stuck at home and no sports.
And it was boring. Huh?
I found it completely boring. Absolutely. Huh. Now, we don't do, you and I don't do a lot of going through and watching all the college games you can and watch these players and see where they come and how they do and where they fall. But for the average football fan, it was way too much of absolutely nothing.
Well, it was Roger Goodell in his basement. Now, this guy makes $50 million a year. I would imagine he has a really, really nice basement.
I would imagine so. It looked okay. How much can you do to a basement? Come on.
I don't know. Obviously, I just saw some of the pics and again I don't. Watched it. I've watched some of the other ones that are live. I just think it's a party for some people when they do have it in person. Now we the Cleveland Browns hopefully will have this next year. It brings tons and tons of people in for whatever reason. I just don't know how it is that exciting.
Yeah.
Of course, it's the beginning, really the beginning of the next football season. The picks for the teams and
let's face it, this is the closest thing to sports we've had since all sports closed down.
I can understand. I just can't believe its popularity in past seasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where, like in, what was it, Memphis or Nashville last year? Hundreds of thousands of people come to Nashville to see the draft. Okay. I
mean, well, you'll be doing it from the bars because you're not going to get that into a Coliseum or something.
No, I mean, a reason to party. Apparently, I'm showing my age, but to me, that's I wouldn't go anywhere. I wouldn't go to Cleveland to see because they have the draft to be among massive amounts of people. Now, maybe and that's good for the economy. I have no problems with it. I just don't understand the excitement that is generated over this. I mean, compared to other sports, baseball is, they probably couldn't get enough to fill the anything, really.
Right, I mean, exactly.
And basketball, and they tried to make it an extravaganza, but it is something. Hockey the same way. But in football, for whatever reason, people, let's go! And it's just a massive party. And I guess they like to boo Roger Goodell.
Something happens about every time he gets booed real loud or something like that. A certain amount of money gets donated to some kind of charity.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's okay. Well, again, it serves a purpose, especially for the people who own. And I really do hope that the Browns have it next year and it brings in tons of people. This coronavirus is somewhat tamed. They may have to put a straw through their masks. in order to consume the beverage of their choice. But we shall see.
Yeah, we will, and that's a year away now. So, I mean, we're talking about wondering if they're even going to have the NFL season kickoff when it usually kicks off. You know, we're starting to open things up in this state and other states. If it has a terrible reverse adverse effect, and all of a sudden hospitals get overflowed to the brim again, and a ton of people die, they'll close it back up again. But so much depends upon the smartness of how things are opened back up. Now, looking at the draft, I wanted to see how we did grade wise, and you know what? And this really means nothing, because until these guys get on the field and get to practice and see whether they make it or they get injured or whatever the case is, you know, being drafted really doesn't mean necessarily anything unless you're in the first two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it doesn't. So, but I started looking for some individual sites. Found it kind of hard. I finally found what Sports Illustrated did. They took all these different sites and gave everybody the average of all these different sites. Now, here are the sites that they use. NFL.com, Sporting News, Pro Football Focus, The Draft Wire, the MMQB, whatever that is, looks like NJ.com, TD Wire, SB Nation, Washington Post, New York Post, ESPN, USA Today, and Roto World. Now, the toughest grade, or the easiest grade, came out of NFL.com. The toughest grade came out of Roto World. Excuse me. And everyone else in between. And what they did is it took everybody's grade on each individual team and put it across the board and find out where people's how people determined not how the team's going to do, but how the draft was. And apparently the very best drafting team of all. You want to take a guess?
The Browns?
No. Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, really?
Had the very best draft of everybody. They had A's across the board, except the Washington Post gave them a B+. Sporting News and Roto World, which is the toughest grader out there, gave them a pluses. Two, three gave them a minuses. The rest had A's across the board. New Orleans Saints were the worst, absolutely worst draft. They got an A- from the NFL. Actually got a B+ from the Roto World. They got 1, 2, 3, 4 C's, and only the one A from NFL, and the rest were all B's. But the Saints supposedly had the worst draft. That means everybody else in between there. Let's take a look. At number 5 in our division, number 5 was the Baltimore Ravens. And they ended up being in the solid A range. Number 7 was the Cincinnati Bengals.
And they got Joe Burrow.
But they obviously had to do more than that, because everybody but 3 gave them an A. But except for 3 teams, they ranked in a B. Then from number 7, we go to number 9. That's where the Cleveland Browns fell. They came to number 9. They didn't have any what you would call sexy picks. They fell to number 9. And actually, that's going across the board with those 10 different groups, diverse groups, doing grades. And just looking across the board there, they did not have anything lower than a B, but they had like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 A's, and the rest were all B's. So that's not too bad. And the other in our division, The Steelers were ranked at number 24 in this draft.
Well, they didn't have a number one, so that's
Okay. That would make a difference.
They got a really good defensive player last year that they traded their number one pick for. So I don't know right off the top of my head who that was.
And that's interesting because the New England also ended up number 26. How did that go? Where was that? Two below Steelers. The Roto World gave them an F. I think if they just didn't like a team, like they didn't like the Packers, they gave them an F. They didn't like the Pats, they gave them an F. They gave the Steelers a D-. Had it not been for that, the Steelers would have been up considerably from the number that they were given. But this being the average of all the teams, the Buffalo Bills came in at number 11.
Good, the Bills.
And Miami, for your sister, came in at number 17. And they had mostly Bs. They had four As and they had two Cs grades, and that was where Miami kind of finished off. So I thought it was very interesting. But you're right, if you don't have a first round pick, and usually the Pats pick so low, unless they've traded somebody to get a higher pick, they're usually down in one of the bottom four spots anyway.
Our division's improving. We had the opportunity, we being the Cleveland Browns fans, not necessarily me, but the opportunity last year to, you know, break out of the pack, and they didn't. So, Cincinnati's going to be very interesting, and because now they got, I think this young man, Joe Burrow, could be a starter right off the top.
I think he will be. And I thought it was interesting. I did see him get selected. They went to his home down there in Athens with his family.
It's a good story, isn't it?
Not only is it a good story, but I mean, he just is almost completely opposite to what he is on the field.
Yeah, he's laid back kid, isn't he? I mean, that's laid what
back,
I understand.
He laid back. Almost in a sense, appearing to be shy, certainly for the media. I'm sure that won't last long. Being the number one pick overall. And again, being at Athens, he's about as far away from Cincinnati as he is from Cleveland. And I think staying in state, I think it's something that he looks forward to.
I think so as well. And he seems well-grounded. He was with the Ohio State Buckeyes, but transferred to LSU.
Well, when he was told, he wasn't going to get a chance to start.
Yeah. And now, that was a very successful transfer. And now the total value of the deal has already been consummated. Is worth $36.19 million. Not bad, huh?
Not bad.
Not bad at all. And that's for 4 years. And then he has an option the fifth year. But if he's true to form, that's just going to, that number's, as big as it is going to be nothing compared to his earning potential is.
Cincinnati's already saying, Andy, who?
Yeah, Andy Dalton. And it was interesting, too, to see. I was just having to have all the number one draft picks. Is that Ohio State's biggest prospect this year was Chase Young. And a lot of people thought if Joe Burrow wasn't in the draft this year, he would have been number one. But he was picked by the Redskins as a defensive end. And so that's going to be interesting. another Ohio. Well, for whatever reason, we shy away from Ohio State guys.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, it's Marla Rittenauer mentioned that why we're Ohio State averse is beyond me. It's just maybe it's not the right time and the right place to pick one of these players, but other people do.
Well, you know, we've had a shot at both the Bosa brothers, and we didn't get either one.
No, well, wait, how many people did we have a shot at? If we had all the people that we had a shot at and could have obtained, we'd be in the Super Bowl, right? I mean, come on.
That's
the
true.
Picks that we overlooked over the Browns coming back over 20 years ago now. It's just managerial travesty.
And it all goes back to ownership because they're the ones that make the managerial decisions. To be in the playoffs one time in 20 years.
A losing record for the entire decades of the 10s. A losing record for 10 straight years.
But again, as we have preached before, that it's consistency and building the system and staying with that system. And that's why it's going to be interesting to see what happens in New England this year and what's going to happen or not happen down in Tampa Bay. Because with, Belichick never really won until he had Brady. And Brady, it'd be interesting to see one if Brady could win without. I think they both want to prove they could win without the other one.
I believe that, but, you know, I'm looking at the number one draft picks of all the teams, and that's, you know, those are the marquee guys, and I'm looking here, and I think where are they in the draft? Eagles, Vikings, Chargers, Saints, 49ers, Packers, Seahawks, Ravens, Titans. Oh, gosh, I can't find the Patriots here. I know they picked a quarterback, and is that your joints?
It's my squeaky chair and my cat who wants to be in on the phone.
He wants to be on my
phone call as well. Yeah.
I thought maybe those were your joints.
Some days it is, good captain. Some days it is.
Well, the Patriots, I guess they didn't pick a quarterback. I was looking here. They didn't have a number one pick, which is not unusual.
Which is not unusual for them, right?
Yeah, they picked a safety and a linebacker. I don't know their quarterback situation. I mean, this is a quarterback-centric league. And as far as I know, it's Hoyer. I mean, I think he's a fine young man and stuff like that, but I don't think
we've seen other people that have prospered in that system who really can't make it anywhere else. Now, this is the whole reason Belichick did not want to get rid of Garoppolo, and Brady insisted it, and since he's also the general manager, Brady went to the owner, the three of them had a meeting, and the owner said, trade him. This is why he says, you know, because in Belichick's mind, he saw Garoppolo as competent enough to take over the system. Now, they've had other ones that have done well and gone other places and not done well at all, done mediocre at best. There's something about the system that he has or that Josh McDaniels has within that system that really makes a quarterback prosper.
Yeah, but you're replacing a legend, Tom Brady. And anybody who's going to follow Tom Brady, that's a hard thing to do. Those are big shoes to fill. It'll be interesting with Brady with the two-year contract with Tampa Bay. They're also called the Brady years. The Brady Bay Buccaneers. I mean, it's already
and Gronkowski that came out of retirement. And got traded down to Tampa Bay as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how well New England does this year, and two, how well Tampa Bay does this year. Just as an interesting side note.
Yes. What's your side note?
No, I said that's just an interesting side note to the season.
Oh, that's an interesting. I'm sorry. I got the flow. Sometimes it's not like we're in person.
You know, right, right.
Yeah. It's just.
Believe me, a lot of people. Boy, a lot of people are going to want to see both of them or one or the other fail. So you're going to see a lot more focus on Tampa Bay than it has ever had before.
Oh, I would think so. I think Cincinnati is also going to have a big focus. The dynamics, really, of the Browns will be another big focus. They were such a disappointment because they were the focus last year.
Right.
And their first game against Tennessee, like I said last year, they had to come out and have a really convincing win. And now they had a convincing, crushing defeat, which has set the stage for the whole season. So, you've got Pittsburgh, who's always with Big Ben coming back.
Yes.
Will be a formidable team. You've got...
here's the thing about the Cincinnati draft. Everything I've read about it, had it not been for their number one pick, they would not have really done that well. But having the number one pick overall and picking the person they picked, that put them really far up there. So their other draft picks weren't all that warm and fuzzy. They got
a wide receiver at number two, T. Higgins. He's a running wide receiver from Clemson. And then the other ones, these are players I don't know anything about. So,
right.
But the quarterback is the guy. I mean, it's the most important position.
Well,
of any sport,
he's the most important position you got as long as you've got some kind of line there. Yes.
Yeah, and Cincinnati, when they played the Browns, looked pretty tough. and I don't think they were that far away. Let's face it,
they knew the era of Andy Dalton was coming to an end. This was a new coach, and the only reason he played him because that's what he had. And just because he'd been there so many years, he had more passing yards than even Kenny Anderson, but he'd never won a playoff game when they did get to the playoffs. And so, to be honest with you, I kind of feel they kind of tanked. And when they got to the point where it wasn't going to hurt them whether they won or lost, that's when they started winning some games.
Yeah. I think they're going to be very interesting this year. I don't know if they go from last to first in our division. But with a quarter, we'll just have to see.
I just find it hard to believe because Ravens, who have won our division the last 2 years, had a better pick than every other team in our division. So
another pick I like, the Ravens, you said, had a pretty,
according to everybody across the board, they had the number seven, number five draft this year.
Yeah, but they picked number two, J.K. Dobbins, from a running back from Ohio State. I think that's an excellent pick.
Yeah.
You couple him with Jackson in the backfield. The Baltimore Ravens are going to be the hands-on favorite to win the AFC North, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
In my opinion. So the Browns are facing Pittsburgh with Big Ben coming back and Cincinnati with a revised team with Joe Burrow coming in. It looks like this kid, he's an NFL-type quarterback who played for LSU. And you get him the protection. And I think he could make a statement right off the bat. That's how good he. I mean, he was very impressive, very impressive.
Yes.
And with LSU, so I don't know. I mean, it's hard to make any prediction now because you don't know how training camps are going to be. You don't even know if there's a season.
Right.
But right. Based on what we have now, and the season does take place. It may be in front of a very sparse crowd with 6 feet between everybody, but I think they will have some sort of crowd there. And believe me, the TV ratings will be through the roof And I just don't know how right now. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen with this crazy bug going around, do we?
No, we do not.
It's so, the unknowns are unknown. And they're already talking about even the Olympics next year. The probability of that happening is very, very iffy. And that's next year, a year from July.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then you have some doctors saying there's not going to be any attendance-based sports until 2021. So we just simply do not know. But presuming that football play, you talk about contact, getting close, up and close and personal, it's football. Football, then you got basketball, and then you got maybe hockey. Those guys fit and everything else at each other. And then you got baseball. I would think baseball would have a better chance to spread out their players. They do. Than any other sport. So, but it's nice to talk about. It gives us everybody hope, and we just gotta hope there's some sort of Jonah Salk out there who's going to he or she. And it's amazing to me. This is kind of an observation compared to the Salk and the scientists. The amount of women now contributing to finding a cure and treatment and the doctors, the amount of women who have now entered that field is phenomenal, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's a good thing. I think women are so much more compassionate than men by nature. They are. And it doesn't say male doctors aren't, but to see like Dr. Amy Acton in Ohio and some others throughout and the researchers, I guess if anything positive coming out of this thing is just the focus we now have put on health professionals that more and more are front line in a war. I mean, it used to be the front line in actual combative war were men.
Right.
But now you see these people out front battling this disease. A lot of women are there and that gives me pause for hope that society recognizes that in the future. But getting back to sports, so we overall the Browns did okay, but we have said that this is our 13th season together.
Yes,
and I think we've said it every year. Oh, okay, you know we'll see. And the flops. There's more flops in a seal colony than the Browns have gotten. So maybe this one's a different. I don't know.
Want to switch gears here a little bit if we may.
Gear switching. I like gear switching.
Now I talked to Tim Davison a little earlier today.
Yes.
And he had two observations I thought it was unique to talk about. One. I guess it was three things. One, he doesn't think the NBA their season is just done. They will not be playing in June or July or August. He just believes that their season is done.
I don't know. I believe if I watched the other night, I think it was Sunday night, I was watching, Nick Camino from his kitchen. saying that the NBA has loosened up their allowing players to practice. I can't believe they would do that unless they had some hope of bringing basketball back again.
Right.
So I think the jury saw it. I tend to agree with Tim that the season doesn't make any sense to resume given
right.
that basketball had examples of COVID-19 amongst the players, but they're still not officially postponing it or canceling the season.
Yeah, so that was one point, and I thought at one point, but you know, I just don't know. The second point was that he did not think that the minor league baseball would probably have a season this year.
I tend to agree with that.
Because if you don't start baseball, if you don't start Major League Baseball until July, and he said if it's realistic at all, it might be July, which we've talked about since they shut it down. All-star break time might be the time to bring it back with no fans.
I agree. I can't see the logistics of bringing in many players from Mahoning Valley and Lake County and Akron and Columbus. Of course, I don't know. That presents a unique problem, doesn't it? It presents a problem of teams. How many times have we brought players, every team, brought players up from AAA or even AA to supplement players at the major league level for players who got hurt, right?
Right.
And I don't know how that would work without a minor league season. I'm just thinking out loud, right?
Right.
I just don't
well,
know.
Well, the one way
work.
That could be done is by expanding your roster for the regular baseball season.
I guess you could maybe even expand it to 30.
Possibly. Yeah, that was one of the talks to 29 or 30. And the last point that he made that I thought was interesting, he said, this is the week the owners get together and they will vote on the demolition of 40 minor league teams. Of the 40 teams, Cleveland only has one team they would lose, and that would be the Mahoning Scrappers.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, I think that may happen, and this coronavirus may be a major reason for that. They feel that the revenues are going to be way, way down, and they are. There's a tremendous losses, and it would not surprise me. I think before the COVID-19, that was a long shot. That would occur, but now I think it's more likely than not that will happen. So I hope not. I hope not. It gives that kid in Mahoning Valley who's hanging on to a major league hope by a string.
Right. This is the lowest of the low. This is an instructional league as it is. I guess the only thing lower than that is what they consider spring ball that's played during the rest of the year. Hey, the music is coming in here, Bill. So,
no! I had another thought about baseball, but
okay,
I can
real
wait
quick,
next.
Real quick.
I just felt funny that they're not refunding any tickets yet because officially the games aren't canceled.
Right.
And I got about $180 wrapped up in the home opener that I would like to have. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Here we go. Once you've seen one shopping center, you've seen a mall.
And it's closed. All right. That's going to be it for this week. And we'll see everyone next week on the radio here on Sports Sidebar.